Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Brother Ronnie Brown. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. This is Brother Ronnie. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter number 12 and verses 5 through 7. Acts 12, look at verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Notice verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and here's our phrase, a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and he raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and the chains fell off of his hands. For just a little while, let's talk about a light shining in the prison. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we ask you to be with us now as we try to talk about your word and preach your word. God, I pray that you'd take this message coupled with God's spirit and you'd strike at someone's heart. God, they may be in that dark time. They may be down in that prison. God, I pray that you'd shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in that prison. They may be in the prison of Satan, bound by the chains of sin. May they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find the light that can lead them out of the prison of sin. And so, God, we pray that you just be with these words. God, I pray that you'd help me as I try to preach. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. If you'll read Acts chapter 12, you'll find that this is a time when Herod, it said in verse 1, how that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Herod headed out for the church. He was going to put an end to what God was doing. If you'll read the book of Acts, you'll find that this is the book of the infancy of the church. And God is multiplying his church and miraculous things are happening. But there was much persecution, much to stand in the way of this church going on. And here by Acts chapter 12 verse 2, we find James, the brother of John, the apostle of the Lord Jesus, he is killed. He is on the chopping block, if you will, and how that Herod had put James to death. And so when he saw in verse 3 how that it pleased the Jews, well, he reached out and wanted to please them some more. And so he reached out and took Peter. And now Peter finds himself in prison. It's a dark, dark time. If you'll read in verse 5 how that the church is praying for Peter. It's a dark, turbulent situation. And now all the things are happening and all the darkness of the situation. Oh, but we see in verse 7 how that a light shined in the prison. You know, I think often the illustration of when you go to a jewelry store and how that they'll bring out those diamonds. And usually you'll see those diamonds on a black velvet piece of material. And those diamonds will stand out. It is only in the black velvet of the darkest times of our lives does the diamond light of Jesus Christ shine just a little bit brighter. And here we find the dark situation. I don't know what your situation is, my friend. You may be in the dungeon of sin. Satan, being a slave to Satan, a slave to sin, and you're on your way to hell. You're dying. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm telling you, there's a light shining in the prison. We were down at the jail today, and I was singing that song, Send the Light, Send the Gospel Light. Let it shine from shore to shore. There's a light shining for you, my friend. And then also, if you're in a dark situation like Peter. Peter was God's man, yet he found himself in a prison. In a dark place, in a time when he might have not understood what was going on. I'm going to tell you a light shine. God hadn't forgot about you. He hadn't lost track of where you are. He knows exactly where you are, and a light is shining in the prison. Now, first of all, the darkness of the situation. The darkness of the situation. Now, picture it in your mind. What all has happened with this local church in Jerusalem, how that quickly the news came one day, how that James was quickly into prison, and by evening time, he had found himself on the chopping block, and how that James was swept away out into eternity with Jesus, but he was gone from the church. How quickly it happened. And there, before they knew it, here's Peter now. He is locked up into prison. And how did the church, can you see him in the background as they drop to their knees and say, oh God, don't take Peter. Oh God, we need Peter. Don't take him like you took James. And there's a church, it's a tumultuous time for them. And here we find Peter was detained securely. All of these prisoners down at this jail were detained securely. securely. Now remember Herod, if you'll read the book of Acts up to this point, there were quite a few times where Peter had slipped out of prison. God had delivered him a couple of times from prison. And now Herod said, he's not getting out this time. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to lock him up. And if you'll notice, I think it's in verse 4, how that he was delivered unto him unto four quaternions of soldiers. These soldiers were a 24-hour watch. There were always four soldiers there for each watch. Peter had two prison guards chained to his hands. He had two prison guards chained to the door. They were watching the door. They were keeping the prison. You see, Peter was detained securely. And I can imagine as we exit Peter's prison cell and we walk down this musky dark hall, the cold walls of the prison, the dripping in the background, the rusty chains clanking in the distance, and how we'll look down here and we'll see some murderer that's in prison. How we'll look over here on the other side and there's a robber and there's a thief over here, a murderer, a rapist down the hall. All of these prisoners, they're not going nowhere. They're detained securely. There's no way out for them. They can't pick the locks. They can't get out of this place. They're guarded tightly with the watchful eyes of the Roman guard. You know, as I think about that, I think about my own self, how that I was a prisoner in that jail cell. I think about these men, how that they've been criminals and they're sinners and they've probably robbed and stolen and cheated and raped, and how they're inside of this prison. And that's where I was before March the 20th, 1994. I was in a prison of my sins, bound by the slave master Satan. You remember Jesus telling you that his yoke is easy and his burden is light? Well, I'm going to tell you, the slave yoke of Satan is a heavy burden to carry. And I found myself down in that prison, not knowing when I could get out. I wasn't going anywhere. I'd tried to turn over a new leaf. I'd try to find a way out of my prison, but every time found myself bound tighter and tighter in those chains. And so that's where we find Peter tonight. Listen, my friend, you may be stuck in the prison cell of Satan. You may be bound in your sins and on your way to hell. I'm going to tell you tonight, a light is shining in the prison. A light is shining for you tonight, and that light is Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, these prisoners weren't going at, they were detained securely. But not only were they detained securely, but death was a certainty. Death was a certainty. And I spent quite a bit of time, not as an inmate at Catoosa County, but I spent quite a bit down there preaching the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, down there, that jail is a nice jail. I mean, we got some nice meeting rooms, air conditioned. We were over here today, and they said it was 97 degrees outside. But inside that jail cell, inside that meeting room, why, it was cool as a cucumber. Man, we had a good old time down there worshiping the Lord. Nice facilities, nice polished halls. I haven't been in the cells, but I hear they're real. I mean, for a jail cell, they're pretty clean, pretty sanitary. Why, if you look in the lobby of Catoosa County Jail, I joke about it. Sometimes it looks like an art museum. It's a museum. It's so beautiful in that lobby there. But this jail wasn't anything like the Catoosa County Jail. No, this in the time that Peter was thrown into prison, basically all Peter was done was thrown in a hole. All kinds of vermin and lice and rats running around. All kinds of sickness and disease. All kinds of filth of maybe urine and vomit on the floor. I mean, this is a place that if you went to prison for any length of amount of time, it was a death sentence. It was a death. Death was certain for somebody that spent a life down in those prisons. Spent a few months down there, they'd catch a disease and they'd die. Or all the filth and the nastiness of those prison cells. Death was a certainty. Oh, listen, I remember the night before Jesus Christ saved me, my death was a certainty. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:1 that we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Now, before I got saved, I was alive just like anybody else. I could talk and walk. I could breathe in air in my body. But according to the Bible, I was dead. Now, I liken this into when a man is in a prison cell facing an execution, and how that he's waiting there, waiting for the hour to come, and the jailer comes to him and says, it's time, so-and-so, and he gets up, and he's all bound in them chains, and he comes out to the hall and begins to make his way towards the execution chair. And I imagine one of the guards, if you've seen it in the movies or different things, dead man walking, dead man walking. And this man is alive. We can look at him and realize that he can move and walk, and he has a pulse in his veins, but the direction that he's going, the direction that he's heading, in the way that he's going, he's faced with certain death. Oh, that was me. I was faced with the death penalty hanging over my head. I was going to die and go to hell. Death was a certainty if I'd have stayed down in that prison. Oh, but thank God you didn't leave me down there. A light shined in the prison when all hope seemed gone. The light shined out of the darkness. Oh, I remember the night the light shined in a little Mustang car driving down I-75. For the first time, I saw the light of Jesus Christ, and it pierced my heart and flooded my soul. And I was saved by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, Brother Ronnie, you're telling me, who is this light? It is Jesus and him alone that is the light of this world. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and rose again. Oh, what light is that shining so brightly for me that gives me such courage the right way to see? The light is shining in the prison. If you're in the prison of Satan tonight, the light is shining for you. I can imagine old prison cell condemned to die in that jail cell with Peter. Hey, he was a murderer and he deserved to die. All of a sudden, the light began to fill his cell, the cell where he was. We don't only know darkness and chains and depravity and sickness. The light shined in there. The light shines in the prison. The darkness of the situation, my friend. If you're in that dark situation, oh, turn to Christ. Embrace the light as it shines upon you. The light of the gospel. Not only the darkness of the situation, but the dependence of the servant. Now, notice this. In that first point, I tried to make it clear that we weren't talking about Peter. All of these men that deserved to be down in this prison, they were down there. They were sinners. They didn't know the Lord. And the light was shining for them. But not only that, but the light shined for Peter. Peter was God's man. I mean, this was a saved man. He was the one that preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 got saved in the birth of the church that day. This was God's servant. The dependence of the servant. Now, notice now. You know, they may tell you today if the Lord's on your side and you know the Lord Jesus, you should never have a problem. Oh, everything ought to go all right. Well, what about Peter? Peter's down in this jail cell, down in a place he shouldn't be. All he'd been doing was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here we find him in a dark situation. My friend, if you're a Christian today, that does not exempt you from having problems. Doesn't exempt you from pain and heartache and the wondering that comes from life of where is God and what's happening in this circumstance. And that's where we find Peter, down in a jail cell. God's man. Now, first of all, I think Peter teaches us principles that we can use to get out of dark situations, to get out of the darkness of the situation. First of all, notice Peter trusted in God's word. Peter trusted in God's word. Notice what it said. I think it was in verse 6. But Herod brought him forth the same night. Peter was what? Sleeping. I thought that funny. If James had just been killed and they just laid their hands on my neck and drug me into that prison, and they're sharpening their sword on the outside, I'd put two and two together and start thinking that, hey, I'm next. I'm fixing to have my head chopped off. I'm fixing to meet my end. But where do we find Peter? What is he doing? He's sleeping. He's asleep in the jail cell. Oh, I'd have been wringing my hands saying, oh, God, where you at? Oh, God, you said you'd deliver me. I'd be wringing my hands and worrying, biting my fingernails to the nub and to the quick. Where are you, God, in this circumstance? But what's Peter doing? He's sleeping. Now, I was wondering, why in the world would Peter be sleeping at a time like this? When he ought to been praying. He ought to been down on his knees. Why is Peter sleeping? Well, let's look at this. If you'll think back, John 21:18-19, listen. What Jesus told Peter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself where thou wast, and walkest where thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And this he spake, signifying the death, that he should glorify God. That's a promise, personally, to Peter. A promise. They say, he's saying, Peter, you're not going to die when you're a young man. You're going to die when you're an old, old man. And so all Peter's doing is he's saying, well, I'm still pretty young and spry. This is only chapter 12 of Acts, so he's pretty young and spry. And so he's saying to himself, well, the Lord promised me. He promised me that I wasn't going to die, so ain't no use in both of us staying up tonight. So Peter said, I'm just going to go on to sleep. I can picture in my mind how Peter's sitting down in that jail cell. He elbows this guard over here and says, oh, have you ever met my friend Jesus? Oh, he's the sweetest one. He forgave me when I backslid on him and denied his name.
Oh, you ought to give your heart to Jesus, brother. He'll forgive you. And he talks to this one over here and says, oh, I thank God for what Jesus did a few days ago in Pentecost. Having all these men were saved. He was either these guards got saved or they got bugged to death. I'm sure that Peter bragged on the Lord wherever he was, but now it was coming night time. I can see Peter. He's fixing to take his Bible out. I see him. He take his New Testament scroll out of his back pocket and he opens his up. I believe his devotion might have been this. Psalm 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I'm sure he said that, and then he said a little prayer. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. And I'm just going to trust you in this time. And I can see him lay his head on his pillow, and I can hear him start to sing as he begins to sing. What tune? Can you listen in? What tune was he singing? Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. And off to sleep. How are you sleeping, my friend? You going through dark times and perils and you're wringing your hands in the middle of the night. Why don't you grab up a promise of God and say, I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to believe God's word when all around me is darkness. What does Isaiah 41:10 say? I fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. I'm glad that when I can't trace God's hand, I can trust his heart. Oh, that's what Peter's doing. Trusting the heart of God. When all author says God's time to help is when things are brought to the last extreme. To the last extreme. Time and time again in the darkest hours of my Christian life, I've wondered where God was. When I needed help recently, when doubts came into my mind, and I'm wondering, I haven't heard from God like I had in the past. And where are you, Lord? I don't know where you are in this time, but I begin to find myself going to God's Word. And what do? I look up at John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I tell you what, whenever it's over my head, it's under his feet. He's in complete control, like the song we sing at temple. He's an on-time God. He's not late. He didn't forget about Peter down there. He made preference, a promise to him that he could follow. It says he's an on-time God. It says that old Job says, you may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. And that's where we find Peter trusting in God's Word. Here, not only that, but we see Peter obeyed God's instruction. Now, not only did he trust God's Word, but he obeyed God's instruction. Look at verse 7 and 8. He beheld the angel and came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Peter was so sound asleep, trusting the promises of God, that the angel had to poke him in the ribs. Hey, wake up, Peter. And so he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off his hands. Notice what the angel says. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment upon about thee and follow me. And when he went out, he followed him, and he wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. Here we find Peter be obedient to God's instruction. Being obedient. Listen, a light is shining in the prison. God has not forgotten about his servant. It may be dark all around you, but God hadn't forgotten about you. Hey, there's still promises in this book for you. There's still a time where you can go, a place where you can go, but God's going to expect some things out of you in this dark time. Now, Peter's teaching us how to get out of these dark situations, how to get out of the dark circumstances. But if Peter was going to be delivered, you know, Peter could have sat there and depended on the promises of God and sit there and rot on that piece of rock until he was an old man and they slew him right there in that prison. If he had not gotten up, he had never known anything about the deliverance of the Lord. Doesn't matter how much you stand on the promises of God. If you can't obey him and follow him, you'll rot in that prison cell the rest of your existence. Peter acknowledged, Peter obeyed the angel's command. Now, these weren't miraculous commands. I mean, go back and read them for yourself. All the angel said was gird thyself. All he said was bind on thy sandals. Put your shoes on, Peter. All he said was cast thy garment upon thee. Put your t-shirt on, Peter, and pull your pants up and let's go on out of here. And follow me. Now, how hard is that? How hard is that?
I like what one author said, Warren Wiersbe. He said, these were certainly ordinary tasks to do while a miracle was taking place, but God often joins the miraculous with the ordinary. God can do the extraordinary, but His people must do the ordinary. You remember when Jesus was on the hillside and he took them loaves and fishes and fed 5,000? Did He hand a piece of bread over to Philip and say, okay, you multiply those breads over there. Hand the fish to Peter over here. You multiply those fishes over there and we'll get this done quicker. No, all He asked His disciples to do was gather up the fragments. He took care of the miraculous. They just did the ordinary. When the Jairus' daughter was raised, did He tell Jairus' daughter to go do something miraculous and do something extraordinary? No, He just told her to go make His daughter something to eat. You see, God uses the ordinary things. You may be saying, well, where are you going, Brother Ronnie? You're losing me. Should I just put on my shoes and put on my t-shirt and go follow the Lord? What is the Word of God trying to tell you? It's trying to tell you that don't stop doing the simple things. If you're in the dark circumstances of your life, you'll notice that that's when people just all of a sudden stop going to church. When they run into financial hardship, they just quit going to church. Or when they run into financial or some kind of hardship or the Lord doesn't do something exactly the way they want it, they'll quit reading that Bible. They'll quit praying. They'll quit talking to the Lord. They'll quit telling people about Jesus. They quit doing the simple things that God commanded us to do. And like I said, if Peter hadn't done these simple tasks, he'd have never made it out of this prison. Listen, my friend, if adversity has come your way, listen, you need to face it and say, I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to do the little things God asked me to do. I'm going to follow Him out of this prison. Don't quit in the heat of the battle, fellas. Don't quit in the heat of the battle, ladies out there. Just keep following God. Just keep giving your tithe. Just keep praying to God. Just keep reading your Bible, and you'll never realize it, just like Peter, how that God is using that to deliver you out of the prison. Not only was the darkness of the situation and the dependence of the servant, but finally, look at the deliverance that was surreal. The deliverance that was surreal. Now, the deliverance had come and gone. Notice what it said in verse 9. It said, and he went out and he followed him, and he wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. The whole time, Peter didn't understand what was going on. Oh, that's such a comfort to my heart, because a lot of times I don't understand what's going on in my life. I don't understand why these trials are going on, but yet he's going on and following God. He's just being obedient to God. He's following Him step by step, little by little. He's following Him. He didn't understand the situation. He didn't understand everything. He couldn't see 3 or 4 blocks down the road. He couldn't see a mile or two down the road. All he could see was one from one command to the next. That's what we need to do. Follow one command to the next, one step at a time, and following Him. Now, look at verse 10. It says, and when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate which leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And when they were out, they passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed, and Peter was come to himself. Remember, like I told you, that this was like, Peter thought it was a vision, like a dream. It was surreal. It didn't seem real what was going on in his life at that time and how God was leading him out. He was just being obedient, even when he didn't understand all of what God was doing. And here we find that before long, he didn't realize it, but before long, he had already been delivered. Before he even realized it, he had already come through the trial. In this case, he began to praise God. Look at what it says. And Peter came to himself. It says, now I know for a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation. What did he do? He praised God on the other side of the trial. Why, he's been walking this path and following God, and all of a sudden he comes to himself and realizes what's going on. He turns around and looks at all them jail doors open, and look at that gate open down there. Look at all them chains laying on the floor. Oh, I can imagine. Imagine what Peter began to do. He began to have a Baptistal running fit. He began to say with John Newton, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis the grace of God that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. God was delivering him little by little, and he didn't even know it. Oh, that's the same He does with you and me, friend. Now, listen, you can ask, let's go back into the Old Testament and ask the three Hebrew children, hey, does God keep His word? Hey, was God? And they're knowing Jesus down in that. They may have fell in the fire. Peter was down in the prison. The three Hebrew children fell in the fire. Oh, but they got to know God like they'd never known Him before. Hey, you ask Daniel down there in that lion's den, did God keep you? Oh, the Lord God liveth. He was right down there with him. He got to meet God like he'd never met Him before. How do you think about all
the Jehoshaphat, all the enemies that faced Jehoshaphat. And God just said, don't worry about it. The battle's mine. It's not yours. You just go ahead and face the enemy. And here comes Jehoshaphat over the hillside singing the praises of God's holiness. And what happened? God slew the enemy and confused them and slew all of them. Listen to you. Listen, ask these men, does God deliver? Does He keep His promises? Yes, He keeps His promises. Yes, His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. Our suffering show it. Listen, if Peter would have never been out down in this prison, had never gone through this prison experience, he'd have never been able to praise God like he did on the other side of the prison. You see, that's what God's doing. God takes that little faith of Peter, that little faith, that little step of putting on that sandal, that little step of putting that a robe on and following Him. He takes that little faith, that little circumstance, those little things in our lives and begins to grow. And if he had never been down that prison, he'd have never known the faithfulness of God. There's many a dark hour I'd been through when I met God like I'd never seen Him before, where I'd saw His presence and sensed His presence in my life greater than I'd ever have on the mountaintop. It's in those dark times He reveals Himself to me and you. Oh, my friend, listen. He is leading you through these dark times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, listen, trust Him when you're in that dark valley. Trust Him when you're in that dark prison cell. I like what the poet said in a poem called Out of the Darkness. Out of the dark foreboding soil, the pure white lily grows. Out of the black and murky clouds, descends the stainless snow. Out of the crawling earthbound worm, a butterfly is born. Out of the somber, shrouded night, behold, a golden morn. Out of the pain and stress of life, the peace of God pours down. Out of the nails, the spear, the cross, redemption and a crown. Oh, the Lord Jesus had to go through that bitter cup in Gethsemane. He had to go through that mock trial where they spit and they abused Him. He had to go through the beating and the lashing of the whipping post. He had to make His way to Calvary, be nailed to that cross before He'd ever see Resurrection Sunday. The same is true with me and you. If we're going to learn what it is for God to deliver us and for God to be as real as He's ever been in our lives, we must cross through these valleys of the shadow of death. Listen, as we close, are you here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus? You're driving down that road and you're saying, I'm in that prison of sin. I've tried to do better. I've tried to pick these chains and have them fall off me. Oh, this yoke is heavy that Satan's got on me. Listen, I'm telling you, there's a light shining in the prison. There's a light shining in that dark hour. Embrace the light of Christ. He's the light of the world. Confess your sins and repent and come to Jesus. And then also you, Christian, you're wondering where God is. You're down in that prison. You shouldn't be there. Well, you're asking God, what's going on? I thought everything was going to be rosy. I thought everything was going to be mountaintops. God's taking you through this valley. And what do? First of all, you trust God's Word. You trust the promises of God. You follow His promises. You say, I'm going to believe what you said is true. And then also, you're going to do the simple things. The simple things. Pray. Read your Bible. Go to church. Tithe. Tell somebody about Jesus. Do the simple things. And never, before you'll even know it, before you even wist not, you'll come to yourself and see you're on the other side of the storm. You'll be seeing the rainbow in the clouds and the storm will have passed. Oh, listen, do what Peter's shown us to do in God's Word. If you're not saved out there, would you come to Christ today and ask Jesus to save you? Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything from your table. I deserve hell. I deserve my back broken hell. But Jesus, I ask you to save me. Oh, listen, Christian friend, keep going. Keep persevering. Keep following the Lord Jesus. He is leading you out. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. God, use it for your own glory. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be sure to tune in next week to hear Brother Tracy Trivett. Amen.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's message, simply write to Brother Ronnie at Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. This program is also rebroadcast on the internet at www.calvarycamethrough.info. You can email Brother Ronnie at rbrown@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.